You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at anti-establishment presidential candidates in both major parties and in third parties, too. Right now, on this Memorial Day, we're joined by our longtime Simply Folk host, Stephanie Elkins. She's also a classical music host on the NPR News and Classical Music Network of WPR. Stephanie has been picking out music to share with us to observe the service of military members in our country, and she joins us now. Stephanie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, as always, you've picked out some music for us, and this time, this Memorial Day selection is a little personal. You've got a lot of family background, a lot of memories related to their military service.
I do, and I put together a Memorial Day show, which we heard last night on Simply Folk, and it's so hard every year because my dad was a career Army guy, and I moved around as a kid as an Army brat. My grandfather was killed in World War II. My brother served in the military, so it is very personal.
Well, let's get into the music. I want to start, and we'll give a listen to this one. Touch a Name was your first selection by Joel Mabus. We'll give a listen here.
Well, every time I come here, I wear my fatigues to honor the men that I knew. I touch every name that came from my outfit, and I read them out loud when I do.
So Touch a Name on the Wall. Talk about this song.
He wanted to write a song from a vet's point of view, and it wasn't until he saw a photograph of somebody actually at the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., touching a name on the wall when he got it. He got what he was going to write about. And it really, if you've ever been there, it's what people do. They go and they touch it. It's such a powerful place. I mean, the sheer number of names on the wall, for one thing, is really overpowering. But it's a story about two friends. I mean, it's a really wonderful ballad. They're in high school, and then they're both drafted, and they go to Vietnam, and he loses his good friend. And it comes back to this chorus of, touch a name on the wall, touch a name on the wall, God help us all, touch a name on the wall. It's just real. It's simple, but powerful.
I remember when the design for the wall was first released, it was kind of controversial. People were underwhelmed. It didn't have the usual, I guess, heroic sense of a war memorial. And yet, and as this song shows, it's become this amazingly potent symbol for veterans themselves, for their families, and I think for generations since then.
It's iconic. It really is. And when you walk to it, it starts out really small, and then it gets taller and taller and taller. It's overwhelming. It's really powerful.
In folk music in particular, in folk music about war, I should say, is there that search for that kind of symbol, that icon that you can kind of summarize all the experience in, as in this case?
Yes, and I think he tried to strike a balance here because he wanted to honor the service of the Vietnam vets, but also he didn't want to support something that was so controversial and not necessarily the right thing. And he feels that he did strike the right balance, and he's had a lot of reinforcement from both sides of the argument from the Vietnam War for the song. In fact, he tells a story about a group traveling back to Vietnam and sharing it with Vietnamese, and that it was well received.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because some wars and some memorials, it's pretty univocal, I guess. There's one sense, the heroism, the sacrifice, the service, and in this case, there's a lot more ambiguity about what the war was about.
And in one line in the song, he says, now some people say that they all died for nothing, but I don't completely agree, because this brother here didn't die for no country, he died for me. So
the personal bond.
Right.
With a fellow soldier. Well, right. We could talk a long time about that song. We've got more that you've shared with us. A song inspired by France, No Man's Land. Can you tell us about that before we listen?
This one was inspired by a cemetery from World War I, and there's no question this one is an angry song about the deep loss of life from World War I. It's by an Australian singer-songwriter. His name is Eric Bogle. Do you want to listen to a little bit of it first?
Yeah.
Well, how do you do, Private Willie McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside, and I'll rest for a while in the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day, Lord, and I'm nearly done, and I see by your grave glory's fallen in 1916.
And so an Australian perspective on World War One, Gallipoli, that I don't know if that's set there. This is set in France, actually, but a sense of pointless sacrifice for, I think, a lot of Australians in that war and people of a lot of nationalities in that war.
Absolutely. And he has written a song about Gallipoli.
Really?
And this songwriter in particular has written quite a lot about World War One. It must have affected him personally in some way. And he says that he had traveled to northern France. He sat in this small, kind of a smallish cemetery, and it was a beautiful pastoral setting and a kind of a meadow, and the sun was shining, but he didn't feel the peace that you would normally feel in a place like that. In fact, he felt like he was sensing anger and frustration, and that's what led to the inspiration for the song. And you know, how many died? 11 million, I think, soldiers and 7 million civilians in that war. And so he goes on to say, you know, did you die clean or was it slow and obscene? And then it's almost a cynical chorus. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly? Did they fire the rifles over you as they lowered you down? It's a very cynical and kind of angry, but powerful, powerful. Mm-hmm. It's called No Man's Land.
No Man's Land by Eric Bogle.
Eric Bogle, Australian, terrific singer-songwriter.
We're talking to Stephanie Elkins. She is sharing some songs related to Memorial Day, following up on last night's episode of Simply Folk. A little closer to home now, you've got a Ho-Chunk service song by the Winnebago Songs. That's the outfit that records this?
The Winnebago Sons.
Sons.
Yep. And their lead singer is Joe Greendeer. And this is from a really wonderful recording. There's Native American songs throughout, not just from Wisconsin. And they've been collected, and they're documented, and they talk about the background. And, you know, they got this recording from a guy who remembered it from 50 years ago, from the Civil War, but battles in the 1800s and things like that. So this particular one that we're going to hear is from the Ho-Chunk, and they have four service songs, Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force, and they are performed every Memorial Day at powwows in the Black River Falls area. And they have a tradition that, having come into contact with blood and with death, that they're welcomed home with these songs or songs and kind of celebrations and ceremonies. They're sort of a spiritual cleansing and a healing, and then they at the same time honor those who have fallen in battle.
Let's give a listen to one of the Ho-Chunk service songs. And do you know what the lyrics of the song are about? Or is it what you were just talking about, the service and the contact with blood and death and returning?
This is the Army song that we're listening to right now. It's pretty straightforward. They went through a hard time. The Ho-Chunk boys stood holding a flag. They went through a hard time. It's pretty straightforward. Mm. But it's, I think, the rhythm, and they dance. They get up and dance with each one, whether it's Army, Navy, Marines, or Air Force. If they've served, they get up and dance when their song is sung. So it's a ritual.
And it's honoring the veterans who have returned. Are there separate songs, or is this also honoring those who didn't return?
There is an honoring of those who did not return as well. It's part of the whole ceremony.
And it's a good reminder. There are a lot of different meanings for who's a veteran and what a veteran is in this country and around the world.
Well, in this particular recording, it's interesting. In the liner notes, they talk about the fact that, you know, Native Americans have served in World War II and in all of our conflicts. And there's not a lot of attention given to that.
Well, I want to move on to a classical piece you shared with us from Maurice Ravel.
That's right. He was a musician, and he served in World War I, as a lot of musicians did. Sir, he drove a military ambulance, which must have been horrific, and he saw a lot of death, a lot of injuries and devastation. And so when he came back, he wrote a piece called The Tombeau de Couperin, and a tombeau in musical terminology is a memorial piece usually composed for some mighty notable person who's commissioned it. But in this case, he wrote six movements, each one dedicated to the memory of a good friend. One movement was for two of his childhood friends who had died, brothers. And then another one was for a guy who did some transposing for him, who was a musician. One of them was an artist. And so he wrote these pieces not in a real somber, sad, melancholy way. In fact, he got criticized for that. But they're really lively and joyful and really cool pieces. He started them out as piano, and then a couple of years later, he orchestrated them. So we're going to hear one movement, the version for orchestra. This is the last movement, and it's kind of recognizable. It's called the Rigaudon.
So I'm guessing from the upbeat tone, way, this isn't just mourning the death, but also celebrating a life.
And in fact, he marked the movements. They give them markings for speed and, you know, tempo, that sort of thing. And this one is called Assez Vif, or bright enough, or lively enough. And so really he is celebrating their life rather than their death. In fact, he, when he was criticized for not making the music really somber and melancholy, his reply was that the dead are already sad enough.
Well, this goes back a long way. I mean, Homer and probably his predecessors using art and probably singing it to remember people who have fallen or served in war. What is it about music that's so powerful at doing this?
You know, music, I think, has a language that we can't express feelings through simply our English language, just through words. And art, whether it's painting or music, can help us express feelings that we cannot do in another way. I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear music and you get overwhelmed by a feeling. I do it preparing for this show, and sometimes joyful feelings, just beautiful stuff that can bring me to tears. And that's a gift. And art does that too. It's different for everybody. It's a very subjective thing.
I want to bring up one last song as we go out. Stephanie, tell us one more you've shared with us, Ashokan Farewell by Jay Unger and Molly Mason.
Oh, this will be familiar to anybody who has watched Ken Burns' Civil War series. It was used as the theme song. And if you saw the images, that was before they had spin control of photographs, and some of the images of the dead on the battlefields, I mean, just, it was hard to see that. And juxtaposed on top of that was this haunting sound of Jay Unger's violin and Molly Mason's simple melody of the Ashokan Farewell. And it's come to now represent almost a lament for the dead. And in fact, it's become so popular that it's used at funerals and memorial services now.
Stephanie, thanks as always for sharing these with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for asking.
That's WPR's own Stephanie Elkins here on Central Time.